Cast for you, cast your body. front of me. Thank you, Father, that we have a testimony. We testify that you're a good God and that your mercies endure forever. We testify, O God, that your loving kindness and your tender mercies has made it possible for us to live a new life. The old is passed away. All things are now new. You have designed and desired and established that only goodness and mercy will follow us all the days of our lives. And we tap, O God, into that eternal plan. So, Lord, O God, that evil will not be part of our lives. We reject and we refuse to accept the evil of each day. And we embrace the loving kindness that comes about because we are seekers of your kingdom. Thank you, Lord, for your blessings abound towards us. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Praise the Lord. It's good to have you here this evening for our time of fellowshipping together in the presence of God as we embrace the Word of God and allow God's Word to take reign in our lives. This morning, we established that what God wants us to experience is only good. David captures the essence of that thought in Psalm 23 and verse 6, where he says, "Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." So not only is the goodness and mercy of God following us while we are in this span of life, but that will continue to follow us and abide with us because we get to dwell in the house of the Lord forever. In essence, God is saying to us, I want you to begin to experience heaven in the earth. In fact, the Lord teaching us to pray said, "Pray, thy kingdom come, thy will be done in the earth as it is in heaven." The Word of God says that the Lord Jesus Christ was anointed by the Holy Ghost and with power, and you went about doing good, healing all that were oppressed of the devil. We know that the will of God for us is to experience the God life. The God life tantamounts to living the good life. Amen? Hallelujah. Now, this morning, as we explored the word of the Lord, we saw in the book of Exodus, the 33rd chapter, beginning to read from the 19th verse, it says to us about, actually from the 18th verse, in the 18th verse, Moses is asking God to show him his glory. And the response of God to that request is seen in the 19th verse, where God says, "I will make all my goodness pass before thee." All of my goodness, I'm going to make it pass before you, and I'll proclaim the name of the Lord before thee. Two things. I'm going to cause all of my goodness to pass before you, and I'm going to proclaim my name before you. Somebody say, "Lord, proclaim your name before me and cause your goodness to go before me. We want not only that the goodness of God follow us, we want the goodness of God to precede us. The goodness of God preceding you is what favor is all about. And so he goes on and says, I'll proclaim my name, the name of the Lord before you, and will be gracious to whom I choose to be gracious to. And I will show mercy on whom I will show mercy. Now we are seeing different facets of what that goodness or the glory of God will find out is manifested here. We'll find out that this glory and the goodness of God are the same. Because the word of God is going to tell us further down that God causes glory to go before him. Now, when we look at this particular passage, we see the grace of God and we see the mercies of God. In fact, if you were to look at the goodness of God as a coin, you will have goodness and mercy making that coin. If you were to look at this glory of God as a stool, then one leg is goodness, the other leg is mercy, and the other leg is grace. Are we together so far? The grace of God is the enablement of God that God gives to us to live the God life or the good life. And that is granted us because of the mercy of the Lord. The word of God continues and he says, however, I'm not going to let you see my face, for no man can see me and live. And we contrasted that with what God says to us in the New Testament, where God says that he will cause us to behold his face so that we change from glory to glory. Why is that? Because we now have a different status. Status different from the status that Moses had when God was speaking to him. The status that we have is the status of Jesus. We are one with him. And the word of God continues and says, it says, I'm not going to let you see my face, because if you see my face, you're not going to live. But then he says, and the Lord said, there is a place by me. That place by the Father, we concluded, is the place of Jesus. And then we said, he says, and thou shalt stand upon a rock. We said this morning, that rock is Jesus. Amen? And then it says, and shall come to pass while my glory passeth by. That's why I said, when he said my goodness, he was talking also about his glory. But it is a dumbed down level of the glory of God. It's still the glory of God, but it's a dumbed down. Nobody as a man can behold that and live. But we are now new creations. We are born again of the Spirit of God. We are not in the class of Moses. Moses did not know Jesus like we do. And that causes us to ask this question. Why is it that we're not seeing that goodness of God like Moses did? Because we have not tapped into that. We have mouthed out, God is good, but we've not seen ourselves as ones that should be bearers of that goodness or manifestations of that goodness. So we have limited ourselves by not thinking of ourselves from the perspective of God, how God sees us. He says to us, no man is good but God. But then in the book of James, he says, every good and perfect gift proceeds from the Father of light, meaning that you are light. You're not just human. You are light. You're a light being. When God looks at you, he's not looking at a human being. He's looking at a light being like himself. He's the Father of lights. He birthed light. And when the light shines, darkness vamooses. Amen? And God wants you to see yourself. He wants us to see ourselves as light that shines, that darkness cannot overwhelm. We are not part of a black hole. God commanded the light to come out of darkness. Once upon a time, you were in a black hole, imprisoned, enslaved. You were still light, but captured. But God says, no, 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 no more. I call you to come out. You're not under the control and the influence of the God of this world, who has blinded those who are not believers. You are my son. You are my daughter. And you are good. You proceeded or came out of the Father of lights, in whom there is no variableness, no shadow of turning. Of his own will, by his own will, God begat us. We are the begotten of God. Goats give birth to goats. Dogs give birth to dogs. Whether you call it a puppy or a kid, it's still a goat and it's still a dog. God gives birth to himself. Hello? And he is altogether good, and there is no evil in him. Praise the Lord. So we know this, that in the garden, when man was deceived and woman were deceived, Adam and Eve, the devil said, if you eat of this fruit, you will become like gods, knowing good and evil. And we clarified what that meant, that while that may be half of a truth, the reality is that God never intended for us to know evil. God experienced evil because he was disappointed from the experience he had with Lucifer, who took a third of the angels of heaven, a whole third, not just one angel disappointed, a whole third of the angels went to the devil. There's a coup d'etat in heaven. It failed. But God did not want you and I to experience that. Now, the devil said, you'll be like God who's experienced that. Well, I don't want to experience disappointments and rejection. I don't want to experience betrayal. But that's what he seeded into Adam and Eve. They became traitors. And from that point on, evil came into their lives. But that was not God's will for them. God's will was for his goodness to always abound towards them. God did not intend for us to ever be sick, nor did he intend for us to be poor, nor did he intend for us to be sad. He did not want any of that to ever taint our lives. He only wanted the good. Some people may find that difficult, but what do you think heaven is about? Do you think you need to know evil to enjoy good? But that's what the enemy wants you to think about. God wants you and I to only think about good and experience his good in our lives. Now, the balancing point to all of that was that God extended what we'll call mercy. Someone say mercy. Hallelujah. God wants us to experience his mercy. He wants us to always know continual feasting. The Word of God tells us about that in Proverbs 15 and verse 15. It says that the person who is evil or will always be afflicted, or the afflicted will only experience evil days. All the days of the afflicted are evil. All the days of the afflicted are evil. However, but he that is of a merry heart hath continual feasts. God wants us to have a continual feast. How? Because we are celebrating, counting it all joy when we go through trials, when we go through temptations, when we go through difficult experiences. We are counting it all joy, celebrating, because we know victory is ours. And as we sang just a moment ago, I told Satan, get thee behind. Victory today is mine. Every day, I'm called to rejoice and be glad in the Lord at all times. No matter what is happening, I will rejoice and be glad. It is in that expression of thanksgiving that we continue to live victoriously. Now, because God wants us to live in that realm of victory, He extends to us His mercy. Even when we falter, mercy is available. Look at what the Word of God says in Psalm 118, talking about the other side of the goodness of God. The goodness of God is the presence of the mercies of God. In Psalm 118, beginning to read from verse 1, it says, "Oh, give thanks unto the Lord." And that's key. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord. Giving thanks, this is God's will concerning you. Always. Always giving thanks. It says, that's God's will concerning you and I. Give thanks unto the Lord, for He is good. Why is He good? Because His mercy endureth forever. The mercies of God endure forever. It says, let Israel now say that His mercy endureth forever. Just like the Word of God says, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. God says, always say the mercy of the Lord endures forever. Every day, God, Your mercy endures forever. Your mercy abounds towards me. He says, let the house of Aaron now say that His mercy endureth forever. Who's Aaron, the high priest? He says, let his house say the mercy of God endures forever. Let them now that fear the Lord, those are wise people, say that His mercy endureth forever. He says, I called upon the Lord in distress. The Lord answered me and set me in a large place. When I was distressed, I called on God, and God answered me and set me in a large place. When the enemy wanted to constrict my life, God put me in a large place. The Lord is on my side. Just like I am on His side, the Lord is on my side. And here, because the Lord is on my side, I will not fear. What can man do unto me? Most of our fears are based on what we think man is going to do to us. Man is going to this, man is going to do that. It says, God is with me, and I'm with Him. What can man do unto me? The Lord taketh my part. God is on my side. The Lord taketh my part with them that help me. Those that are positioned to help me, God speaks good things into their spirit to spur them to help me. He doesn't speak evil to them. All they see about me is, that's a good man. We're going to help him. This cannot happen. God takes my part. He says, so therefore shall I see my desire upon them that hate me. Yeah? It's not that people don't hate me. It's that God takes my part with those that are committed to helping me. Let them shout for joy and celebrate and thank God. Those that celebrate and honor The very fact that God desires prosperity for his servants. It is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in princes. The word of God continues. Verse 10 says, all nations compass me about, but in the name of the Lord will I destroy them. Whoever it is that's coming against me, the Lord will destroy them. What is the basis of all of this? The mercies of God endure it forever. So when we come to the book of 2 Chronicles, chapter 20, where Jehoshaphat and the household of God, the people of Judah, have been attacked. It says, it came to pass after this also that the children of Moab and the children of Ammon, and with them other beside the Ammonites, came against Jehoshaphat to battle. Verse 10 lists out some of the names more in detail about who these enemies are. It says, and behold, the children of Ammon and Moab and Mount Seir, they came against God's people. These were the people, the Bible says here, whom thou wouldst not let Israel invade. God, you did not allow us to invade them when we came out of the land of Egypt, but they turned from them and destroyed them not. We did good to them, but they are paying us with evil. Now, what does the word of God say about that? Those that pay back evil for good. The Bible says in Proverbs 17 and verse 13 that those that give evil for good shall always have evil in all of their generations. Whoso rewarded evil for good, evil shall not depart from his house. Now, when we go back there to 2 Chronicles, the 20th chapter, and we look at verse 20, these three nations have come against Judah. The Bible says, even though Jehoshaphat was afraid, he says he rose early in the morning and went forth into the wilderness of Tekoa. He says, and as they went forth, Jehoshaphat stood and said, hear me, O Judah, and ye inhabitants of Jerusalem. Believe in the Lord your God, so shall ye be established. Believe God, and you be established. He says, but then, believe his prophets, so shall you prosper. When the prophetic word comes, do you believe it? Do you receive it? It says, that's how you're going to prosper. If you're going to know the goodness of God and the mercies of God, it is in believing the prophetic word that is released into your life. Praise the Lord. You have to believe the prophetic word, or you will not continue to experience the goodness of God and continue to feast. When you hear the word of God, it is well with you, my son. It is well with you, my daughter. It's well with you, child of God. It is well with you. God has this under control. Receive it. Celebrate with it. Run with it. But if you don't believe it, or you're double-minded about it, then it will not come to pass. Remember, God has laid up, we read from the word of God today, God has laid up goodness. And that goodness, he wants to dispatch to you. And he dispatches it to you and I as we take a hold of the prophetic word that is spoken into our spirit. Amen? He says, so you get established by believing in God, but you prosper by believing in the prophetic word. He says, and when he had consulted with the people, he appointed singers unto the Lord, and that should praise the beauty of holiness as they went out before the army, and to say, praise the Lord, for his mercy endureth forever. And as they began to declare those words, the Bible says, the Lord set ambushments against the children of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir, which were come against Judah, and they were smitten. every one of them smitten. They were stronger than Judah, but Judah had, and Jehoshaphat had one thing: the praise for God, whose mercies endure forever. We are not capitalizing on our righteousness. We're not capitalizing on our holiness. We're not capitalizing on anything that we have to bring to the table. We're capitalizing on the mercies of God, because whatever it is we have only because of His mercies. Hallelujah. It says, they were smitten. God sent up ambushment. Rise with me and declare these words. Father, set ambushments against every enemy that set itself against me. They shall not succeed. They fight against themselves and they destroy themselves, because your mercies endure forever. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. You may be seated. He says, for the children of Ammon and Moab stood up against the inhabitants of Mount Seir. They utterly slew them and destroyed them. So two gang up on one. They wipe up that one, and after they finish fighting against Mount Seir and destroying them, the Bible says, and when they had made an end of the inhabitants of Seir, everyone helped to destroy another. In other words, they turned now against each other. And they wiped themselves out. He says, and when Judah came toward the watchtower in the wilderness. Let me not go there and start talking about the watchtower. Let me just keep on going. They looked onto the multitude, and behold, they were dead bodies falling to the earth, and none escaped, not one person. And when Jehoshaphat and his people came to take away the spoil of them, they found among them in abundance both riches with the dead bodies and precious jewels, which they stripped off for themselves, more than they could carry away. Oh, that's the conference we're going to be having. More than you can carry. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Now I know why God brought me here. More than they could carry away. And they were 3 days in gathering of the spoil. It was so much. 3 days. Remember what the Lord taught us about 3 days. Past, present, future. So we are gathering whatever it is that the enemy took in the past, whatever the enemy has taken in the present, and whatever the enemy intended to take in the future. We are gathering everything. We're taking more than we can carry. So we need help. Stand with me and cry out and say, Lord, I need help to carry this overload in the mighty name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for more than enough, the abundance of your goodness and truth, in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. It says, and on the fourth day, they assembled themselves in the valley of Beraka. For there they blessed the Lord. Therefore, the name of the same place was called the Valley of Beraka unto this day. Beraka means blessing, the Valley of Blessings. It says that's on the fourth day. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. God is bringing us to the time of His brightness. Glory be to God. Now, please listen. It is so easy to define the capacity to receive the blessings of God based on whatever it is that we thought has established us. My education, the family I came from, my past. Well, the Word of God says we are established by believing in the Lord. So when you find that in the natural, you don't have the credentials to qualify you, qualify yourself in knowing that you can believe in the Lord, and He becomes the one who establishes you to give you the promotion that you need. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Say with me, Father, my mind is renewed. I do not think like a mere man. I believe your word, and I declare this day as a new creation that I am established and my foundation is in you. You have qualified me and made me worthy to receive the blessing in my life. I come into my fourth day and I rise in Jesus' mighty name. Hallelujah. Now, the Bible tells us that on the fourth day, Lazarus was raised back from the dead. That which has gone beyond repair is fixed. Hallelujah. This impossible situation is eradicated, and I come. I am now in the valley of blessings. What are they doing there? They blessing the Lord. They baraking the Lord. They magnifying the Lord. And God is honoring them by doing extraordinary things for them. Hallelujah. Your mercies endure forever. In Psalm 136, we begin to see even more what this goodness and mercy is all about. He says, oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for He is what? Good. Colon. When I was in English, as they told me that colon, anything that follows after it explains what was before. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for He is good. Because. He is good. Because. For. His mercy endureth forever. So when we are eating of the fruit of the goodness of the Lord, we're eating of the fruit of the mercies of God that endure forever. It lasts forever. Praise the Lord. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord. Oh, give thanks unto the God of gods. For His mercy endureth forever. Now, that statement, oh, give thanks unto the God of gods, it's not just talking about other gods out there. God acknowledged other gods. But it's also talking about the gods who you and I are. For the Word of God says, know ye not that ye are gods. So give thanks unto the God of gods. When you recognize that you are God because God gave birth to you, you are not a capital G God, you are a small g God. Amen? He says, give thanks because His mercy endures forever. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord of lords. Why is He Lord of lords? Because God declares you to be a Lord also. Amen? Lords have ownership. They own property. So you have a landlord because the landlord owns land. Praise God. So, oh, give thanks to the Lord of lords. Oh, give thanks to the one who's made you a Lord. Oh, give thanks to the one who made you a God. Why? For His mercy endureth forever. To Him who alone doeth great wonders. To Him who alone doeth great wonders. Say it with me. To Him who alone doeth great wonders. What is that all about? The Lord Jesus Christ tells us in John 14, he says, I have not done anything. It is the Father who doeth the works. Praise the Lord. So we can see that it is God alone who doeth great wonders. Why is that important? It is important because now I cannot take credit and say, I did it. No, God did it. He might have used my body, he might have used my mouth, he might have used my hands, but this, whatever it is that happened, God did. Peter said, why are you guys looking at us as if we did something? We didn't do anything. It is in the name of the one, Jesus Christ. He's the one who did this. Amen. That takes the load off of me. Hallelujah. I don't have to prove nothing. I just have to say, oh, give thanks unto the God who doeth great wonders. God, do your wonders. Do your thing. We are here to behold the manifestation of your wisdom, your power, your knowledge, your understanding, the manifestation of your will in the earth as it is in heaven. It says, to him that by wisdom made the heavens, for his mercy endureth forever. It is through his wisdom that he made the heavens. To him that stretched out the earth above the waters, for his mercy endured forever. To him that made great lights, for his mercy endured forever. The sun to rule by day, for his mercy endured forever. The moon and stars to rule by night, for his mercy endured forever. To him that smote Egypt in their firstborn, he smote Egypt in their firstborn. For his mercy endureth forever. And brought out Israel from among them. For his mercy endureth forever. With a strong hand and with a stretched out arm. For his mercy endureth forever. To him which divided the Red Sea into parts. For his mercy endureth forever. And made Israel to pass through the midst of it. For his mercy endure it forever. But overthrew Pharaoh and his hosts in the Red Sea, for his mercy endure it forever. The other day, I was looking at a documentary. It was a documentary of the discovery of where the Jews, the Israelites, the Hebrews, cross the Red Sea. A man had discovered it many decades back, but nobody believed. But now, with proper equipment, they were able to find wheels of the chariots, and around there, they found so many bodies. So many bodies, all in the muck. And all of a sudden they said, wait a minute, whatever it is the Bible said, it's really true. Amen. These were unbelievers discovering what the Word of God said. And why did the Word of God declare it? It says, for his mercy endureth forever. It was the mercy of God that delivered Israel. It was the mercy of God that dealt with Egypt in the firstborn. Oh, some other day I will talk about that, but not today. To him which led his people through the wilderness, for his mercy endureth forever. It was the mercy of God that got them through the wilderness. To him we smote great kings, for his mercy endure it forever. The kings that they slew were giants. Sihon and Og on the other side of the Jordan. These were demonized men. They were children born because of, the Bible tells us, angels were sent down, came down, they saw women and were seduced by the women. They got intimate with the women and gave birth to children, and the children ended up becoming giants. So these were children of fallen angels. Angels that did not fulfill their assignment. Now, these were the people that Israel fought against. The Bible tells us about Sihon and Og that they were long-necked. Actually, that's what the word means. Long-necked watchers. You can see Sihon, king of the Amorites, Psalm 136. And Og, the king of Bashan, for his mercy endureth forever, and gave their land for an heritage, for his mercy endureth forever, even an heritage unto Israel, his servant, for his mercy endureth forever, who remembered us in our lowest state, for his mercy endureth forever, and hath redeemed us from our enemies, for his mercy endureth forever, who giveth food to all flesh, for his mercy endureth forever. O, give thanks unto the God of heaven, for his mercy endureth forever. Every verse concludes with his mercy endureth forever. But the mercy of God that endureth forever, we found out in verse 1, is the goodness of God. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. So when God calls us to eat of the fruit of goodness, he's calling us to experience his everlasting mercies that endure forever. Hallelujah. Let's conclude by looking at Psalm 106. Psalm 106. It is still driving home the same point. Praise ye the Lord. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord. For he is what? Good. Colon. For his mercy endureth forever. Who can utter the mighty acts of the Lord? Who can show forth all his praise? Blessed are they that keep judgment, and he that doeth righteousness at all times. Remember me, O Lord, with the favor that thou bearest unto thy people. There's a favor. Oh, visit me with thy salvation. Why? That I may see the good of the chosen. Jesus, our Lord, said, you didn't call me. I called you, and I chose you, and ordained you to be a people that are fruitful, and that your fruit abides, so that whatever it is you ask the Father in my name, he may give it you. That I may see the good of thy chosen, that I may rejoice in the gladness of thy nation, that I may glory with thine inheritance. But remember something we talked about earlier today, about the purpose of goodness. The purpose of the goodness of God is to spur us to the place of repentance. So a people that want the goodness of God to be manifested in them must also embrace this truth. I need the mercies of God. That's why you ask for the mercy of God, because you have to repent. So Psalm 106 and verse 6 says, we have sinned with our fathers. We have committed iniquity. We have done wickedly. For us to experience the goodness of God, we must be aware of this. If evil abides in the house of those who reward good with evil, we may have fallen into that same trap. You cannot pray that away. You can only repent and ask for forgiveness. And then God, in his loving kindness and tender mercies, extends mercy to you. The patriarchs understood this principle. And so many times when they are seeking for the mercies of God, they will not only lay hold of the sins that they have committed, but their fathers. Our fathers have sinned, and we have sinned. Have mercy. You don't know, please hear me, you don't know what your fathers and your mothers, people that were before you, got themselves engaged in before you got here. Some of us may be suffering the consequences of other people's issues. The Word of God tells us very clearly in His Word, it tells us that because of the sin of one man, sin, and the curse of sin came upon everybody. Because of Adam, we all became what we are. But because of Jesus Christ, we all became who we are also. Amen? But this is a place that we all need to get to and address. Because remember, one of the teachings that the Lord gave to us about confession is about saying the same thing. Homologia is the word. Now, it is about coming to agreement with what God has said by declaring what God said. And that's how we cash in on what God has for us. Now, this aspect is of utmost importance. Please hear me. If you've not done it, you need to do it. Because we are delivered from the curse of the law. But not all curses are curses of the law. So you and I need to face up with other curses that can light on our lives. When you go to a doctor, they will check on your history. Yeah? Has anybody ever had cancer or diabetes or high blood pressure or whatever? They are trying to find out what you are susceptible to. They're going to the roots because it transfers. When you look at families, actually somebody did a study of a particular family. People might say it might be social engineering and whatever else, baloney. They looked at one family, and that family, every single one in that family for generations were all criminals. All criminals. They looked at another family, and they were all professionals. Well, somebody would say, well, it's because this one came from a good family, that's why. But there are realities we have in one family, an Abel and a Cain. Because you came from a particular family doesn't necessarily mean that you're all going to be the same. But the reality is there are challenges that we face that are related to what our fathers may have done. Say, maybe not. I'm Caucasian. We never practice witchcraft or whatever. Liar, liar, liar. Go check your history. Just go back and check your history and find out that you were just as much pagans like the African is a pagan. Oh, we never ate people. Go check your history. It's in the blood. White people were cannibals, just like other tribes were cannibals. It's all the same. Everybody's family has done something bad. So we need to cry out for deliverance from the iniquities of our fathers. We've done wickedly, man says. Our fathers understood not the wonders in Egypt. They remembered not the multitude of thy mercies, but provoked him at the sea, even at the Red Sea. They're not even crossed. They're already provoking. Nevertheless, he saved them for his namesake. For his namesake, that he might make his mighty power to be known. The 23rd Psalm tells us, he says, in the 23rd Psalm, come with me there just for a moment and we'll come back here to Psalm 106. The 23rd Psalm. It says, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness. Why? For his name's sake. God is more interested in you walking uprightly than you are. Why? For his name's sake. Because we are his children. Praise the Lord. And he doesn't want us to mess up his name. So he goes the extra mile to make sure that we are okay. He shields us, protects us. Just like the father of the prodigal. When he saw the son coming, the Bible says he took off to where the son was. And then he asked for the robe. And he asked for the ring. And he asked for shoes. Why? He did not want his son's disgrace to be exposed to everybody. So even before the guy had a bath, there was a coat. There was a ring. There were the shoes. And then he threw a party. Now, while they're busy killing the fatted calf, he's busy giving the child a bath. Taking care of business behind closed doors. Hello? Are we together? God doesn't want to broadcast your nonsense. For his name's sake. Now, for his namesake also means this. We don't want this part. For his namesake means that sometimes God will blow up your problem just to show to everybody that he is not a God who accepts foolishness. He's been warning you, warning you, warning you, warning you, warning you, but you keep on doing the same old nonsense. He says, okay, this is how you like it. Let's go for it and see how you're going to like this now. So the Israelites, He gets the Assyrians to take them into exile. He gets the Babylonians to get them into exile. And they are all exiled. And their good stuff taken out. Even the stuff in his house taken out. God could care less. You don't mess with me. Now, you don't want to find out that his namesake from that side. He'll protect you all he can, but if you keep on doing whatever it is that you think you want to do, he will show you who's the boss. Who is the boss? You think you are? Okay, let me show you. Where we trust the Lord. His righteousness for his name's sake. Now get me back to Psalm 106. And we'll wrap up here. Verse 10 says, he saved them from the hand of him that hated them and redeemed them from the hand of the enemy. And the waters covered their enemies. There was not one of them left. Then believed they his words. They sang his praise. But they were vacillating. They soon forgot his works, the works of his goodness, and did not wait for his counsel. That's not what God wants for us. God just wants you and I to continue in faith. Don't take for granted his goodness. His goodness and his mercy he wants to reveal to us. But he challenges us not to take him for granted. Because to take God for granted means to expose yourself to much pain. When they lusted for the things in the wilderness, they tempted God in the desert, and trouble hit. Well, we'll end there for now and just thank God for his goodness. Rise with me. Heavenly Father, we say yes and amen to your eternal word. We want to live life to the full. We want to enjoy your goodness. We want to live fulfilled. We want to honor you, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Father, we repent of every sin, the sin of our fathers, the sin of our mothers. We do not know what they may have done, what they may have engaged themselves with, but Lord, oh God, because we want to experience your goodness, your mercies, your loving kindness, we cry out to you today. We repent of every evil. And we seek you, O Lord our God. Forgive us every sin. And may your extended arms now release unto us that which you have laid up for us, even your goodness, this day and always. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen and amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank God for every one of you that took time today to participate in this service. May the goodness of God be revealed in all of our lives.